good parenting, good coaching, good leadership is all about loving on people.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Coach Steve Ritter, the legendary head men's basketball coach at Emory Riddle University. Coach Ritter took over the program in 1989 and has since built it from the ground up into a nationally recognized powerhouse. Before arriving at Emory Riddle, he was an assistant coach at Berea Community High School in Kentucky. Under his leadership, Emory Riddle won the NAIA National Championship in 2000 and made multiple deep national tournament runs. Coach Ritter has earned over 700 career wins and countless Coach of the Year honors. He has led the transition of the program into NCAA Division II, continuing its tradition of excellence. In this episode, we talk about changing a program from a losing program to a winning program, what he looks to instill in his players and coaches, as well as staying loyal to a program for 36 plus years. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Steve Ritter. Coach, are you still hanging on to that old shooting machine that's just sitting in storage and not getting used at all? Our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help. Trade in your machine, any make, any model, in any condition, even if it's from a competitor. You get free shipping on your purchase of a brand new Dr. Dish, but be sure to hurry because this offer only lasts this month of June only. Welcome back, coaches. Another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Alan Major, Doug Caputo here. We are blessed to be able to have an opportunity to speak with somebody with such a high wealth of knowledge for the game and someone who has built an absolute powerhouse of a program over the years. We've got to chop it up a little before, and as I said, there is a lot of energy coming into this, and I can't wait for this episode. So, everybody, please welcome the current head coach, Emory Riddle University, Coach Steve Ritter. Coach Ritter, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time and taking a chance on me this morning.
No, you got it, man. We've been looking forward to this one, so thank you.
So to give everybody, I know we have an intro that gives a quick background, but it doesn't necessarily do justice because for you, you have made two stops, right? As we mentioned, you've been at Berea College. You were an assistant for about 8 years, and then you go on to where you are now, Emory Riddle, as we said, the head coach. You've been there for about 36 seasons, going on to potentially 37. And the AD, if there's anybody who knows a wealth of knowledge about the basketball realm and then how to build a program, it is this man that we are speaking to today. Secured 20 conference titles and 18 national tournament appearances, just to say that. So that's half the seasons that you have coached, if not more, of conference titles. So before we even get into any of the successes, how you built this program and all of that, like, what got Coach Ritter into basketball? Why did you want to coach and what made you into this profession?
Coach, we probably have similar stories. It's that college student athlete experience towards the end that you just start getting sad and it could come to an end. And I'm 21 years old, senior, just finished. I just got engaged to this beautiful woman. We're going to get married in July. I got an offer to go to Goodyear Aerospace Corporation in Cleveland, Ohio, or Akron, Ohio, yep, and to do some human resources. They're going to offer me $35,000 a year, which was like $3.5 million at that time. And my college coach comes to me and says, "Ritter, no way." I said, "What?" He says, "You're not going to Akron. You were born to coach. You need to come back here and be my assistant." I said, "I did just ask Miss Vicky to marry me, and that's a pretty good job. She's a math teacher. I kind of like where we're going. What does the job of being the assistant coach at Berea pay?" He says, $500. I said, $500 a day? Or what we need? He says, "That's the year, coach." I said, "I'm not sure Vicky's going to really like that move." "Oh, coach, but you're a leader. You're an impactor." I said, "Yeah, but somewhere I got to get this marriage started off the right way." And he says, "You'll find some other things to do. You're good at that kind of stuff." I'm good at that kind of stuff. Man, when you say, "How did you get into it?" There's that first decision that you make that's going to put you in a direction of your life. And I said, man, I know all about passion. Finding something you love doing. We'll figure it out. So I take it. And I'm telling you guys, this is a true story now. For the next 8 years, from age 21 to 29, I always kid people when they come into our house, you know, we're blessed to have lived on the water, and players come, oh, coach, you're so lucky. Look at this beautiful boat, jet skis. I'm like, guys, we're blessed every day, but we, Vicky and I paid our dues a little bit. Age 21 to 29, head basketball coach, head baseball coach, head baseball chief, financial officer, dorm director. I did every job you could think of for the next 8 years. And so even at night, coaches, here it is. Coach, somebody's got a girl in the room. Oh, hey, can't do that. Coach, somebody's, there's beer. Well, not in a dry town. I'd go up there, they'd have the door shut. There's a towel at the door. Let me in, guys. What's going on? Oh, we're trying out some new insects. We did all that stuff. The end of the day, when you take the assistant coaching job at Berea College and you love it so much, you're excited about getting up every day and being a chief accountant, assistant basketball, head baseball, dorm director, all the things that it takes, because you know you are doing what you love. So from age 21 to 29, when somebody talks about paying their dues to be a head coach, and there's a lot of different paths. My wife and I are a little different. Now, when I mentioned it, you got a girl in your room, can't do that. Somebody's drinking beer. It's a dry town. And the favorite, of course, again, coach, and there's a towel. And you walk in, there's all kinds of smoke. And they're telling me it's nothing but just good incense. You know, when you're doing that for 4 years as a student here in the dorm and another as a staff member, that's 12 years in the residence hall. So putting away a little bit of money, because our parents, neither one of our parents could ever help us with a home and things like that. That was the dream, coaches. And that was to be a head college basketball coach, to have a large family and have a beautiful home, not house, home. But from 18 to 29 years old, we had to roll up our sleeves. When you talk about humble pie, living next to the chapel, raising kids in a residence hall, having a wife that had access to 6 washers and dryers, and guys didn't take out her clothes and fold them all nice and neat. Come on now. You're talking about having Thanksgiving dinner one day with your brother who's over at Eastern Kentucky University, and we're having pot pies for Thanksgiving. So, you know, we can laugh about it now, and it's freaking awesome. But when you talk about the story to get there, we feel good about having to have paid our dues and starting from something scratch until here it is now 36 years later that we know we're very fortunate to have what we have.
Coach, you know what's so cool about what you just said? Man, I love this, is that one, somebody believed in you before you believed in yourself. To be a coach, you may have had the tendencies as a floor leader, as a player, and you could galvanize a locker room, and you know you maybe have those things. For someone to actually see it in you and say, this is what you should be doing. But then the other side of it, sometimes people get old school and new school confused. I don't know what the difference is. To me, it's just there's something called the right school. And for you to do something, and our societies now is fast. We want everything immediately. McDonald's has 2 drive-through lanes, for God's sakes. Microwaves cook things at blazing speed. And so for you to just talk about being patient, that's something that our profession really needs to hear, because everybody wants it now. And it just doesn't always work that way. Unfortunately, for maybe a handful of people, it did happen fast. And then that's led a huge part of our coaching profession to believe that it should just happen that way. And it doesn't. And hats off to you for just staying the course the way you have, because that's a breath of fresh air in this day and age to hear.
Thank you, Coach.
And not only have you been patient, obviously we were talking before we hopped on here. I know me and you were chatting a little bit, but it even trickled into exactly what I wanted to ask you about was your first year as a head coach in Emory-Riddle. Okay. Just to give everybody a reference, you went 4-24, right? 4 wins, 24 losses. That's overall. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because we obviously know where this story ends, or I should say where the story progresses to, maybe not ends. But then the second season, you guys went 22-8, completely flipped things around. What were some of the main focuses for you, like stepping into that new head coaching role? But then what were your focuses on, okay, we had a 4-24 season. How do we change this to a positive way? Just talk about that transition.
Coach. 0-22 the year before I got here. So I felt like I had a pretty good chance to improve somehow. Number one. So when you go out on campus and you see a bunch of dudes playing outdoor, you're thinking, is this bad? We got some players, okay. Because we have no scholarships. It's late July. I'm going to just see where's the roster. I see a couple of guys playing. I walk over and say, hey, man, you got some game. What year are you, junior coach? I said, all right. You want to play basketball? Said, I'm on the team. I said, all right. What's your name? I'm R.J. Harrison. I said, good. I said, dude, were you an all-conference player? Yeah, I was all-conference. Like, where'd you go? He said, Coach, you do know I go to Bethune-Cookman, don't you? He says, there's all your players over on that court. Oh, my goodness. The pilot engineers. Coach, there was just a little different game going on my court versus their court. I'm telling you. You can only take your own imagination. So when you say 4-22 or 4, God, first of all, you got to realize the schedule's already built and the coach who had the team for 0-22, he's a professor. He said, Coach, can you believe these NCAA Division I schools, they want to play us and pay us money? I'm looking at Kennesaw State, Florida Atlantic, final. I'm like, and they want to pay us money. Wow, Coach, what a new thing called a guarantee. And he's like, yeah, I just signed this bunch of them. I'm like, oh, my. So I couldn't do anything with the schedule, but I did schedule Florida Bible twice. Coach, after the regular schedule, you can imagine why we had 2 wins. Florida Bible, we won by 71, and then we walked the ball at the court the next time so we could only keep it to 30. So the season, I got 2 wins, ready? I go to my mailbox, Florida Memorial. Coach, we played an ineligible player, thus you'll be granted a forfeit win. Yes, number 3. Coach, true story, the very next day, St. Thomas. Coach, we played an ineligible player, you'll be forfeit. I'm like, let's go. I go to the mailbox every day to see if I can get the 500. That's why when you always say 4 wins, I'm like, yeah, kind of, but not really. You know, so anyway, we're playing on the outdoor courts. We're playing, practicing at Mainland High School, Vince's place, after the freshman cheerleaders. We couldn't practice. We're getting rained out for a basketball practice because it's outdoor court. So Wallapalooza County ends up not having middle school sports. So I go to Silver Sands. I'm like, man, you're not using your gym. Can we practice and play our games? We'll give you good rent money. They said, let's do it. Coach, for the next 5 years, we got to hit the big time. We moved into Silver Sands Middle School. 2 glass boards, 4 wooden boards. And Coach, we acted like it was Cameron Indoor Stadium. Because what we were able to do, where we went on campus to convince our administration that having scholarships was a necessity. We were the only school in the district of Georgia and Florida not to. And that's when we came up, you have to be the package. Great student, great person, great player to wear the blue and gold. And then we went around to the different departments and they were going to vote in April after being 4-24, whether or not we had convinced them that there is a value in implementing athletic scholarships. 82% of the cabinet members voted in favor. From there, We put 8 new guys on our roster, and we turned it. That's your question. From 4-24 to 22-8, 3 years later, won a conference championship in a packed house at the middle school. And from there, going out to the national tournament, that's when the president said, if you'll come back and be the athletic director, set the vision for us, we would have a great interest. If you don't go anywhere the next 5 years, we can build an arena, we can do the vision that you have, and we can build something special. That's when we came back. I signed a contract and I talked to other schools for 5 years. We built the arena. We added from 6 sports all the way to 20 plus sports today and all the different facilities. Blessed to be the AD for over 20 plus years. Hit the sweet spot, guys. Hit a sweet spot. Some people are like, hey, you could have had a chance to go to this school. Yes, I did. What about that school? Yes, I did. Even my own son, who's a Division I fast track head coach at Mercer. Dad, you could have taken that job. You could have been at Vanderbilt. Okay. Do you think cutting down the nets on March 14th in year 2000 with amazing students, with phenomenal people, a fan base that were on fire about it, do you really think that night in Branson, Missouri, at 10 o'clock at night, up on the ladder, cutting down the nets, do you think I could have been any happier, more fulfilled at any other institution? Oh, because bigger stage, more TV, not happening. So that's the one thing that I don't think we understand some. What is that sweet spot in life where you can have balance, where you can really focus on being a good coach, but a good dad, a good papa, dude, a good husband, whatever, all those things, but balance in life, man. It needs to be the most important thing that you get up every day focused on. And that's what, when you start asking 36, yeah, I'm the one that's been get up every day and pinch myself that I get to be the coach at Embry-Riddle. Not, well, Coach Ritter doing us a favor by staying at Embry-Riddle. Are you crazy? I've signed 3 5-year contracts, not able to talk to other schools. And I wanted to say, don't worry about it. But hey, I am the one that's grateful. I'm the one that's fortunate to be at this institution this long. I promise you that.
Yeah, no. Wow. That's a you said something that, you know, I think Mark Few said it one time, but he just basically made it a phrase, don't mess with happy.
Amen.
Don't mess with happy. And he's had chances to go places. He digs in at Gonzaga. He does what he needs to do. And then in the spring, goes fly fishing. He's a guy that loves fly fishing, does his deal. And when it's time to rev it back up again, he revs it back up again. But that's to see this thing. And it would be hard to walk away from something that you've seen grow from the ground up, literally from buried in the ground to coming out of the ground. And now this thing is a bamboo tree. Now it's incredible.
That's the difference that sometimes people don't understand is coming here as the basketball coach, not wanting to be the AD yet, but then given the opportunity, but growing the sports program. Can you imagine? We have 11 or 12% of women on our campus. So I go to the office, we need to have women's sports. Coach, why? We only have 11, 12% of females on our campus. And I'm like, exactly. Why we need sports and more. Today, we have almost 50% of 500 student athletes, 450 are females. And our women's sports are strong in every area. But when you talk about 36 years just as a basketball coach, that's awesome. But man, how about I'm not saying I'm all that, but just the opportunity that I had to impact so many more student athletes than just 15 basketball guys or a fan base. You're talking about a relationship of hiring, teaching. I have so many cool experience. We have one of the very best women soccer coach in the country was here for 14 years, and she gets a chance a few years ago to be the head women's soccer coach at University of Florida, the Gators. But I walk over there and look at pull her up Sam Bohan and look at all of her media stuff. It's the package, student, person, player. It's all. I go to University of Kentucky baseball that lost last night to West Virginia, a cool thing there. But Nick Mangione is one of my guys here. Baseball, he played here, kept him around for 8 years. Go to University of Kentucky Baseball Stadium and see the package. Come here, coach, let me show you my room. There it is. Look at all this stuff that they're doing. The UK National Coach of the Year. Go look at his culture. Who did they play last night? Steve Savens. Another Embry-Riddle baseball. Two head coaches from Embry-Riddle playing to go to the Super Regional. Dude, I don't really know those guys. There's a relationship. There's an opportunity that you got to impact a lot, and they impacted you even more. So you see that it's just basketball. Having a leadership role on this campus and having the good fortune to be around so many talented coaches, student athletes. That's why it's a privilege.
Oh, man. No, the size of this thing is blowing my mind, man. This is really something. That's amazing.
And for someone to do what you have done, to grow a program to what you have helped do, and then to be able to sit here and say that you're the grateful one for it is just speaks volumes as to how people should at least view things, right? Like you, and we won't say it was just you who did it, but you were a huge, and if not one of the largest pivotal pieces for this. And you still got the humility. You still got the ability to sit there and praise everybody else and thank everybody else. And that speaks volumes enough. So I know I want to give a shout out to Coach David Park out there. I know he was the one who connected to us. I got to make sure to give him a shout out because he was the one who was able to get like an opportunity for us to talk to you, and the humility that you're sharing. And he spoke on it too. Volumes as to why you've been so successful is because I'm sure your players go out there and are playing and you're the one who's giving them the thank you for doing everything. Like, even though you're the one working your tail off out there too. So it speaks a lot.
But it's all real stuff, guys. Come on. Coach mentioned about old school. I'm not afraid to tell you I'm one of the still coolest connected dudes, man. I can go in here. Listen, we played music before we practiced. I know some songs now. I'll just tell you. I can make it up. The rim is on. You know, the lyrics, right? But I got some old school still in me because you better be showing up on time. You better not be shot and saying, oh, GD or MF, like that's cool stuff. That ain't happening. You know what I'm saying? You can't be coming in and just sitting there thinking you're all that. You actually come into the gym, see your teammates and coaches, come in there, high five, handshake. What's going on? Hey, coach, how's Case, man? He's a player in one of your great. Yeah, and I said, man, what about Lisa? You guys are getting pretty sick. You know what I'm saying? We're no different. But great cultures, you can't wait to see each other every day. During COVID, do you know what they did? They said you can practice, but we're not playing any games. 3 days a week, we had to come up with some serious creative shooting drills, guys, because we weren't allowed to have any contact. How many shooting drills can you do? Well, guess what? There's a bunch of them out there because, man, we just sat around and scientifically came up with so many cool shooting drills. Guys couldn't wait to come in and shoot their tail end off for 90 minutes. We still enjoyed seeing each other. We didn't get to play the game, but it was still a freaking blast. And we worked. We didn't come in here and kick around balls. And, dude, guys sweat. But that's the culture that great coaches, I'm not saying I'm one. I'm just saying that's our goal every day. The guys can't wait to see us. We can't wait to see them. And say we're going to work on the game of basketball. I don't know if we were doing badminton. They'd be excited about dink, clear, smash. It wouldn't matter. We're going to still enjoy each other's relationships. And we might not always agree. We're going to have some spirited conversations if you don't run down the floor the right way. But you still want that positive connection. Come on, man. And you've got to have players that have the teachable spirit, coachability. When you're really creating that relationship, they put their arm around you after you've got on their tail, and you don't need to GD them and F them and all that. But you can hold their tail end accountable. And when they walk off the floor and give you a hug and say to their assistant coaches and that, thanks for getting on me today. I needed that. Come on, man. Young people still want to do today. I don't really get into that They're not grateful. They're not appreciative. They don't work. Don't say that to our guys. Because every time we go get a sandwich, every time we go to pregame, they come back on the bus, they're shaking hands. They're looking at us in the eye. Thank you for my meal, coach. Thank you for that, coach. Thank you. Thank you to my assistant. Thank you to the managers who had to make the phone call and get everything set up. Thank them. I did nothing but sit up in the front seat and took advantage of a nice sub. Tell them they're the ones that did the work for you. But make sure you are grateful to them because they did their job the right way. That's what we teach. That's the kind of kids. We have 8 or 9 guys that work for one of the largest insurance companies in the world, Brown & Brown, Hyatt Brown. He loves getting our guys. Do you know why? They've made him a lot of money over the years. He loves our guys. Go look up Brown & Brown. At the end of the day, they've helped our program a ton. That's what real relationships are, right? Not one-sided, but that's the same thing, players and coaches. So again, it's not because it sounds good. It is a privilege for me to be here every day. It's a privilege for me to be in that gym and being around the dudes I get to be around. It's amazing. I got to say this. I get so many stories. I had a kid last year. Go look him up. Cam graduated from Ivy League school, Columbia. Brilliant. Mom and dad. Mom's a Vanderbilt grad, United Nations attorneys. He graduates pre-med from Columbia. Why does he want to come to an aeronautical university to do his grad work? And he does it. Not only does he do it, he takes 4 grad classes. He volunteers his time over to hospital because he wants to be a surgeon. The year's over. He's had a great year. And the very last day of the portal, he comes and says, coach, I love it. Everything about the brotherhood. These are my favorite guys. They're all going to be at my wedding. What you built here is amazing. But I think I need to go to a Black historical college. It can open up some doors. And I'm looking at what impact he gave to our program. He was amazed. He's going to be one of the best surgeons one day. His stories. And I looked at him and said, Cam, if that's the best decision for you, man, then that's the best decision for all of us because we are your biggest fans. It was emotional because we don't have guys transfer out. And he kept apologizing. I said, don't be sorry. You're going to do something so amazing. You'll stay. It's then 4 months. He had a great year for Howard. He makes all conference. At Christmas, he has 3 days left, 3 days that he's off. Where do you think he spent 3 days? Daytona Beach. In our locker room, with our guys, and sitting in our circle and sharing our guys why this is by far the greatest culture, the greatest team you'll ever be part of. That's not micromanaging. You let guys be who they want to be. You don't smother them. I wish he would have stayed, but that wasn't in the cards for him. And that's where I've learned to be a little bit more flexible today than I probably was at age 29, because that's the landscape. But that's the same kid who's texting me once a month. How's the family? How's Miss Vicky? How's the grandkids? And I'm like, man, where you at this summer? I'm over at Spain, coach. We're so fired up for you. You get what I'm saying. That's what we've created here to validate why it would be really impossible almost to ever leave this institution. One day I'm going to have to call it quits. But we all have put so much into this thing. And it is truly one of the more amazing stories written about college athletics, not because of me, but the ability to recruit so many talented people that I put around me that just did an amazing job of building.
And you can 100% tell why everybody has the humility that they do, right? We always say it always starts from the man up top, and you just hear it yourself. But coach, if somebody were to ask you, now you have seen this program from point A to not doing so hot to point B, where you are an absolute national powerhouse now. If somebody were to ask you the simple question of just what makes up and what are like the characteristics of a championship level program. I know you have covered that already. Obviously, everybody has won, everybody getting along, people always wanting to come back, and then just the humility aspect of it. But like from the basketball perspective, what are some ways that you guys have built this into a championship level program?
Yeah. Coach, I get so many thoughts going through my mind because I am blessed to have opportunities to speak with a lot of groups. And it sounds really arrogant. I can't even do all of them. I just can't. Because what I've found out, there are so many companies and corporations that find out about something this, and then they want you to come. I did one the other day, last year, the presidents of all the racetracks. Pretty cool deal. I did one several months ago, Boeing, the Boeing company. I was by far the dumbest in the room. I looked at everybody's breath like, what? I was the only guy that didn't have a PhD. Now think about that. But then I can go on and on. Hit me opportunity. The next couple months, I'm going to do a graduation, our worldwide students out in San Diego on the Navy ship. It's going to be amazing. And so I get all these thoughts going because they're so similar. What great organizations. I'm a big John Maxwell guy. I love John Gordon. I've got a lot of guys that have influenced my way of thinking. I've got my college coaches help. I'm out of so many people. But I look at a couple things that don't change. Number one, you got to have great leadership. Dude. Everything. It is. So when I started leadership in my first presentation at age 21, they asked me to speak to an upper bound group of students, 500 students on leadership. I'm like, man, this is scary. What can I do? Right, at age 22, I'm like, dig in. All right, you guys ready? Sit back. It's a Reader's Digest, 30 seconds. Man, if you want great leadership, here's the DNA. You ready? L, you got to love it. E, you better have some serious energy every day and enthusiasm. A, you got to have this freaking awesome attitude. Even when you're 0-19, you got to be brilliant. L-E-A, D, you got to have discipline. Do things the right way all the time. With no, L-E-A-E, set the right example, earn respect. That's make all the sacrifices that it takes to get to that level. Live in a dorm for 14, 12 years. Hey, serve others. Leadership is serve others. H, be humble. I do it with integrity, takes a P. Now that's at age 22. Can I be honest? It's my go-to. Every time I think of all that, then I look at that and go, really? Did I really show that I love being here today? Did I really bring that energy today? Did I have that kind of sourpuss, feel sorry for me because we got beat on a bad call last night, so my attitude's not, no way. Now, I'm not saying I'm nailing it. It starts with me. It starts with all of us in this profession. Young veterans, it doesn't matter. Where is your leadership needle? And be honest. Don't sit there and say, I'm great at all that. I'm not great at all of it. I'm still thriving every day and striving every day to get to that different level. So that's what it just won't happen without that. My next one, I always share just a couple of things, but you want to hit the sweet spot in life? You ready for this one? It's hard. I got four boxes for you. If you hit all four, you'll be somewhere 36 years, maybe, but you won't hit them all more times than not. You got to find something you love doing. I kind of love coaching. I made that decision at age 21 instead of Goodyear Aerospace. Not building the blimp. Number two, you got to find something that someone is willing to pay you for. Because if you do want to have a wife and a family one day, they're going to ask you, do you get paid? So I always say, I love the jet ski guys. I used to have some fast jet skis, but they didn't want to pay me. So I got to get out of that one. So the one box, you love what you're doing? They're willing to pay you? Okay. You got to love where it's at. Oh, is it in Arizona? I love Arizona. Oh, is it on a college campus? I love God. Oh, is it a nonprofit? Oh, is it in a church community? Love that. Is it in Daytona Beach? Love it. Oh, it's in Kentucky? Okay, so I'm home free. I love what I'm doing. They're willing to pay me for it. I love where it's at. I'm done. 36 years. Nope. Because you forgot about number four. Love what I'm doing. They're paying me for it. I love where it's at. the people. I just don't like the people I work with. They're energy suckers. Their attitude is disastrous. Selfish. I don't trust them. You're gone. But when you get all four boxes clicked off and you love what you're doing, you are getting paid, you love where it's at, and you're freaking surrounded by people that you've hired, help cultivate, help mentor, and they're making you better, you're staying. That's when you won't mess with happy because you got the four box steering checked off. That's hard to get. Fair enough?
Loud and clear. Loud and clear. I'll be honest with you. That was phenomenal because it was everything that is, it's all about the, basically, sum it up in a nutshell, it's all about the people you have around you and the atmosphere, the environment you have. And everything you said has nothing essentially to do with an orange round ball, right?
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the basketball. It's everything exterior, outside, in the locker room, everything on the campus, the people you have, all of that. So that right there is also another testament to why people say the reason they hire assistant coaches and coaches that they do because they're people they know is exactly the number point number two, or I should say point number four, excuse me. Like the people you have, and if you can trust them. And I'm going through a process now. We just hired a new coach and I'm talking with them and like just learning the from a different side and working with a new guy that I've known a little bit, but we don't have too much of an extensive background. And he's just telling me all this stuff. And you could tell we have conversations probably weekly, or I should say like long, like hour long phone conversations. And you could tell that it's building that trust though, like getting that trust between each other and trying to meet each other. No, I think that was perfect.
Well, Coach, you centered on something that we can miss in this transaction-laced profession. And I'm stubborn because I still believe everybody says kids are different. You can't do this. They're not this way anymore. And I'm not falling for that Kool-Aid because I still think once they're in the building with you, then that's you can still push the gas on transformation. And there's still a place for that in this game, even though the landscape is different. And the landscape may have influenced kids differently, but kids are kids at the end of the day. And they still want to be loved. They may not like to be told the truth, but deep down they know they want to hear it. And they still want to find a way that is this something that's going to make me better? How can I be better by being a part of this? And we could have all the basketball knowledge in the world, but what you've nailed there is those kids that leave your program will never forget how you've made them feel.
Yeah.
Their basketball knowledge, whatever that is, that's great. They've learned a lot of ball. They've won a lot of games, but what they will never forget is how you make them feel. And what you guys have figured out there is the way you spell love, time.
No question. On the money. Coach, I got so many things that I'm thinking when I love hearing your guys because it gets me triggered about a couple of things, validation and stuff. But some of these things that I, for young coaches, I get so much trying to pour into them because, man, it needs it. I got to give you these four. This is 44 years in the industry, 36 here. I've got so many friends that are very successful car dealership guys, and we talk all that. It's the same stuff. But what I've come to the realization, I said, come on, man, just give me a few things, Coach. You can really keep going on this stuff. I'm telling you, number one thing is the ability to communicate. Oh, that's new. No, the power of words. This thing is dangerous. I can hurt you. I can humiliate you, or I can make you happy. I sometimes have to humble you, but how you communicate, do you think I can go into that gym and yell and scream and threaten everybody? Somebody said that, Coach, those guys would run through the wall for you. I go, yeah, because all of our coaches would run through the wall twice for them. So this same thing in parenting and CEO, it's all the same stuff. Dude, I can push these guys to a point. Somebody goes, I told my wife the other day, a walk-on. He had a 3.0. And in front of everyone, I said, that's ridiculous, Theo. You had a 3.0. I'm going to get a phone call from your mom and dad. And they're going to say, Coach, you let me down. And here's what they're going to say. My son is about a 4.0. He's a brilliant engineer. What kind of culture do you have that he gets a 3.0? My wife says, but Steve, he's a walk-on. I said, exactly. He didn't do his job. And we're going to let him know that we're equally disappointed in our walk-on who didn't do his job. So I called him out in front of everybody in a loving way. Dude, I'm telling you, this last semester, he must have texted me every other, another A on this test, another A. He couldn't show his teammates that, guys, coach got on me a little bit, but I responded, and I did my job. We didn't care if he's getting a $65,000 scholarship or nothing. He made a commitment to be part of the team. That means he has to make a commitment. He's all in. Does that make sense? So the ability to communicate, man, the power of words, positive reinforcement. When guys celebrate that, if somebody sits there and takes somebody, run them over full speed, they take a charge. Why do you think we invented go down and get your teammate, pick him up? Because it looks good? Or maybe because we're celebrating his sacrifice and we want him to do it again. And if we just say, hey, is there wet on the floor? What'd he do that for? I'm going to tell you, he ain't doing it again. He wants his teammates to celebrate and his coaches. So the ability to communicate, and it's not easy. Some people are really talented, some struggle. But teaching, coaching, mentoring is the ability to connect and communicate. The other thing that a couple, just real couple of that I just say is, man, you got to know the subject. And it's not just high ball screen coverage and all that stuff. But you got to spend some time on preparation is separation. Preparation is separation. Guys know if you know your stuff or you care that we're prepared the right way. So you got to do that in everything. You want to be a good parent? Prepare. Learn it. Understand it. Grow it. It doesn't matter. And then the next one is just, I'm just finished with that one. This third one is just, it's huge. It's huge, guys. The ability to work through adversity. Coach, I don't know one human being on this planet that their life has been nothing but just roses. I got to share this with you guys. My dad died of cancer at age 48. I was 19. It hit me hard. Coaches, 8 years ago, my wife and I lost our 25-year-old son. Four kids, we lost him. Today, I have a 48-year-old assistant coach who's in his sixth year of fighting colon cancer, and it's not good. Do you know what kind of toughness and resiliency it takes to get up every day and keep battling? To keep the gift of perspective, I used a tee box. On my tee box, there's a few things that didn't work out the right way. Maybe a player didn't make a good decision. Maybe my budget's not going. Maybe we're making a move and some guys want to set a podcast up. I'm not doing a good job. Okay. And then all of a sudden, I build the tee box on the right-hand side, and I go, 43 years of a marriage, four freaking awesome kids, eight little granddudes that think I'm like the coolest papa in the world. All the adults meet at the nice restaurant on Saturday, and we're at home with Ryan's three little real girls. We're dancing it up. We're doing hair. Come on. Dude, on the right-hand side of the tee box, it's so long, I can't wait to roll out of bed and bring it. How do you look at things? That's how you got a chance to be good at being resilient. 0-19? How about 0-10? I'm driving back with Ryan, 6-year-old. He goes, Dad, why don't we win like we used to in Kentucky? I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. We just got beat by 51 again. Dude, by the 10th time he's ready to say it, I'm ready to go, you say it one more time, but I'm not yet. Playing in a middle school, practicing who knows. Coach, I still making $27,500. Freaking loving it. Come on now. You got to have some tee box strategy. once a week, twice a week. Reset, step back, go, wait a minute, I get to talk about basketball? What? Whoever invented a podcast? That's pretty cool stuff. It's like, I just want to have my own show. Well, CBS done one and ABC done. I know, but a podcast. Let's do a podcast. One of the greatest inventions ever. You get to do this. You see where I'm going.
Yep.
You do not get jacked up on these opportunities and experiences that we get. Why do we keep dwelling on that other stuff? We got to deal with it. It's not easy. But you do it, you deal with it. And that's where great communication, knowing a subject, but handling adversity and being resilient. That's cool stuff. Three hard ones to get.
And I got to say, all of that, I personally believe, boils down to one simple thing, which is the most powerful, most complex system in the world, that thing between your two ears, right? That brain. Because that brain is the one that gets the communication, and ultimately you got to get the reps for you, like for you especially. That communication portion of it, to learn to communicate properly, you had to have failed, said some things you probably shouldn't have said, and you learn, right? And the list goes on, but that's getting into your own rhythm, getting into your own groove to be able to find out what you do and what you don't like to be able to become the person you want to be.
And be who you are, man. Ain't nobody needs to fake it. So you're hard to follow. Dude, do your own stuff. This stuff is not that good. It's just what I've developed from other people around me, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. But create your own. It's all good. And now, no matter what it looks like, sounds like, it's your own, and it's going to work if you massage it and put the emphasis on what Coach said about loving guys. Good parenting, good coaching, good leadership is all about loving on people. It's okay to be transparent and hold people accountable. But without the love, it ain't happening. It's not a miracle. People love to be loved.
Yeah. No doubt, man.
Al, I don't think we even need to ask our final question, because this whole last 48 minutes has been literally to a T that. Coach, the question we always like to tie it up with is basically just like, if we were to put you back in your first coaching position, bring you back to your first assistant position, right? Knowing what you know now, is there one piece that you'd of advice that you would share with your younger self as a coach? But to be honest with you, and if you want to answer that, feel free by all means, but everything you have covered has been a perfect tee to that.
Yeah. With you guys already know, but Ryan's our oldest. He's the head coach at Mercer, having been at Daytona State, jumps over to Bethune-Cookman, does it there, gets to UT Martin, and goes to Mercer. No question. Fast track. Really cool. His younger brother, Reed, really good player for us, played overseas, went with Tom Crean in Georgia, bounced around, got under Ryan's wing the last several years. So I've got that path, and our daughter Rachel married one of our former players, and he literally is the guy that I would have chosen for my daughter. I don't tell him that. I always tell him he's in the top three or four, so yes, keep working. My point being is, we're on a golf cart the other day, Ryan and I were playing this golf. We were just getting in each other's mind. And one of the things I just try to teach young coaches, and I probably wasn't as great at it then, is whatever your journey is, stop thinking about the next job and how you're going to get it. And what do you got to do? Dude, focus on every day being the friggin' greatest grad assistant, assistant coach, volunteer assistant. Focus on getting up every day and serving others. Be humble and grateful. And then maybe this is a little bit old school, and I don't want to become an off school, but, dude, I'm sorry. I haven't been around anybody that doesn't have a ridiculously strong work ethic. Get the job done. Get up early. Get out of bed and get excited about dominating the day and impacting others. And then do a good job of my triple P. I love it. Triple P. Establish that purpose in life. State very clearly what your priorities are, and it can be whatever you want. I like faith, family, friends. I like them in my work. And that last B, you ready? It's hardest one. Get up every day, bow your chest out, and protect what you just have said. Here are my priorities. Because when you say it, but when you look at last month, you go, man, I didn't work on my faith, my spiritual growth. I didn't spend hardly any time, but I tell everybody, family is the most important to me. But I have, then you're fibbing. Purpose, priorities, and protecting those priorities. I'm not sure I did that as well in my younger days. What's my next big deal? You know what I mean? Live in that moment. Be the best you simply are. Be a humble servant. Be loyal. All that old school stuff is all new school stuff, or whatever you said, Coach. I like the term. It is. It's today. All that stuff still counts a lot. And that will get you your next opportunity. I promise you. And it'd be a little bit.
I love it. No, what I said is people get so caught up in old school versus new school. And sometimes it's like, how about the right school?
Yeah.
We can get, we end up playing this tug of war, old school, new school. And sometimes let's just focus on the right school. Who cares about old or new?
Sure.
There's old or new, and then there's just what's right. And listen, man, this has been for me and Doug. I told you before we started, and this literally like sums up why we do what we do, because just to hear your passion, I'll take it one step further, to hear your joy. And that's what guys miss at times in our profession, because they'll substitute the chase for the joy. You want to chase ahead versus having joy in the moment and joy in your pin drop, wherever you are. And man, what a great lesson for all of us to just listen to your journey, man. It's really been special. I know Doug's going to land the plane here shortly, but yeah, thank you so much for this, doing this, because it's been an honor for, I'm going to speak for Doug. I try not to do it often, but this has been truly an honor for both of us.
Spoiled. Coach, yeah, as Al said, thank you very much for just giving us the opportunity. I say it to everybody, but like I genuinely mean it to everybody too. Like for you guys to give the opportunity to be able to sit here and talk with us, we're more than grateful. So thank you for giving us the time, calling some audibles this morning to be able to change things around. Yeah. But regardless, we got what we wanted. We got an opportunity to speak with you, and we're more as excited as we could be. And the enthusiasm that you bring, I can see why people want to play for you. I'm ready to run through a wall myself, and I'm sitting all the way across the country. So thank you very much for all everything that you have done and helped us out with so far. Before we do wrap up, I want to give a shout out. We have a coaches conference, Rising Coaches Conference, U.S. Nike Basketball Camp, Snow Valley Camps, Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California, July 22nd. Be sure to sign up and hit that, and we'd love to see you there. Other than that, Coach, again, thank you very much. Alan Major, Doug Caputo, another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Hope you all got as much as we did. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Keep working and keep rising, coaches. See you all soon.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.